World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, thanks for jumping in here with us today. I got to do a little bit of house cleaning right at the top, so bear with me a little bit if you give me a chance to do that. A couple issues I want to make sure. Real quickly, coming right out of the chute, I want to talk about some things. Hey, we need to pray for, put this on our prayer list. We're going to pray when I get done right here, okay? We're going to, y'all know Angie, and I'm not going to give Angie's last name just because I'm not going to. She called me yesterday, and she apologized that she hadn't been in the queue. And hear her. Husband's battling cancer, and her son's having some health issues, and she's just overwhelmed. She's just overwhelmed. She wanted me to know that she still loves us, but she can't keep up with all of it. So we appreciate Angie and the fight that she does for us on the front lines. I'm going to pray for her today. And of course, my sister-in-law Susie, who's wrapping up. I don't know. Michelle would tell me it's been almost a month of chemotherapy for a cancer they discovered on her neck up through there. And I could go on Mark Mattingly and just, oh, golly, the needs, the broken things going on in people's lives out there. And I don't want anybody to think that we don't care because we care. But, you know, people say cavalierly, that means not very seriously, just kind of offhanded is to say a cavalier remark. I'll pray for you. But I don't know if we really do. I don't know if we really do. I would say, I'm throwing up prayers for you. Really? What the hell does that mean? Sending prayers, right? And I'm not trying to poke fun at anybody, but the reality of it is, man, we're in a war. And physically, emotionally, family. If I got into the family issues that people were dealing with, oh, my goodness. And again, I kind of said this at the end of yesterday's show. We get right back to it. Folks, it's the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That's all it is. And the enemy attacks in so many different directions. He can attack you physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, on and on. And now stop it a minute. The Bible says the thief cometh but to kill, steal, and to destroy. That's not Satan. The thief is the hireling pastor. If you read that article, John 10, or that in the Bible, John 10 explains it very, very clearly. But the reality of it is we're fighting in so many different ways. Think about the attack on your seed. So what are you talking about, Coach? Your seed, your children, and your grandchildren in those freaking, pardon my French, public schools that we pay to teach lies to our children. You understand how many of you out there have lost a child, especially when they went off to college and they began to be taught this, what I call it, whatever the hell you want to call it. See, folks, please understand this. There's no such thing as any human being that doesn't have a religion. Most of it is humanism. The advancement of me, mine, ours, my advancement. And unfortunately, Christian humanism now, right? Said Christ has come to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. It's just an old version of humanism. That's what we're dealing with in the American church. How else can you explain that the average Christian man, Christian pastor, stay with me, can sit around and watch them teach lies to our children, teach our children in public schools that we pay for an atheistic, humanistic, secular view of the world? How can we put up with that? Why do we put up with that? And there's no pastor coalition against the schools. No pastors rising up and speaking, saying, what are you doing teaching that to our kids? Oh, my goodness. And so what happens to most of you, you don't have to say amen, is you put your kids in school, that you send them off to college, and then you spend the rest of your life trying to get them back. Would somebody say amen? Someone, come on, I need a boom there, Vinny. You put them in school, you put them in college, and spend the rest of your life trying to get them back.
Boom.
I mean, it just is what it is. It just is what it is. And I don't know why we don't understand it. And I'm 72 years old. I can't go on forever. And I don't know who I'm going to pass the torch to. Do you understand how people think I'm crazy? I hope they think you're crazy too. But we're not. We understand this spiritual war that's going on around us. That what the purpose of it, it's not, the devil's not after your finances. He's after your soul. And when you go to church and they tell you you got to tithe so God will cover your finances, that, what a lie. What a lie. Somebody won't, if you give out a duty, no thanks. Now, let me make this really clear, because this has been kind of getting under. By the way, we got hats and shirts again. Got hats and shirts. Are you ready for this? $7 to ship a hat. Cost me it's more for the shipping on the hat than for the hat. But we have hats and shirts back in stock right now. Okay. Now, look, I want to clear the air with me. Okay, with me. I've made this clear very, very many, many times. Coach Dave Live is a Christian charity business. It's a business. We run a business here. It's a God-centered, focused business. It's what we do. Do you know that the production of this show, Jared could show you right now, costs nearly $4,000 to do this show every morning? No, not $4,000 per morning. Over a month. How many shows would be in a month? 20, at least 200. Every time we turn this in, it costs me at least 200. Now, not Spencer, he don't make that kind of money, but the behind the scenes, it costs money to do this. It costs money. Now, I want you to know that when you give money here, I feel I need to say this for me, okay? Last month, we wrote 21 checks to other ministries, other people. 21 checks. For those of you out there who think maybe we're getting rich off of what you do, 21 different checks last month out of this small little ministry we wrote. We're not writing them $5,000 checks. We're not writing them $10,000 checks. We're writing $200 checks and $500 checks, and we're trying to get the money to the people who need it. And we gave how much down to Swannanoa? Huh? Oh my God. I don't know. I don't even know how much money you guys put. I could check it. We're a flow through. We are a business. We are a Christian 501c3 business that you get a tax write-off if you give it to us. And if you don't trust us, and you think we're going to misspend it, and that I'm going to go out and buy a pair of boots with it, well, then don't give. And don't give. Understand what it is that you're giving into here. Now, I would like anybody to show the fruit of what they do, churches, of what they do with their money that comes in. See, our money doesn't go to salaries. Sometimes I don't even take a salary. I don't have a mortgage. But she and I don't have a mortgage. When her father died, left a little bit of money. I don't have a mortgage. I don't have to pay all that to them. I don't have to. Sky High is a ministry center. Yes, we pay. It has its own account. Do you understand? Well, come on. If we got as worried about the finances that you give to the government where it went. All right. $6.95 to mail a hat. Unbelievable. Okay. So let me catch that. 19 different. I wrote 19 checks last month. 19. Go ahead, Tom. Come on.
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
Sitting here at the G1, I woke up early today and I was actually on there. I didn't think your sound was working because I was way ahead of the, I'm usually not coming in until later. So I'm like, man, the sound ain't working today. Anyhow, isn't our Christian fellowship your quote, quote, church service every day? Because I thought you actually misspoke. You're not like a Christian business. You're actually a ministry of the 501c3 having religious services every morning at 7 o'clock, and it goes out for the airways, and you've got your congregation here because the government can't tell you how to hold a religious service.
That's right. That's right.
And we have prayer. That's your prerequisite. I believe you guys take communion on Fridays, right?
Right.
I think there's communion, so there's religious things going on. You have religious activities. So according to that, of course, it's, we know some of it's semantics is what they would say. But the letter of the law, we look at it to say we're having a religious, quote unquote, fellowship today. And, you know, you happen to be the coach. I'm a trainer. But doesn't the Bible say to train and equip the saints for the work of ministry?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on. We just got a whole bunch of trainers, and
that's
a whole
right.
bunch of preachers, a whole bunch of people in here fellowshipping. So that's the whole thing. And a workman's worthy of his due. And brother, you're way past that. God bless.
You're breaking up a little bit, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Look, I'm not gonna get stuck on this, okay? The reality of it is, are you looking at me? Some of you ain't never given a dime. and we're doing okay. Okay. We're doing okay. Come in here every day and never give a dime. I hope your conscience bothers you a little bit on that one. Go ahead, Paul. Come on in.
You picked Venmo, coach?
I think we did.
Venmo.
I think we did.
Okay.
I think we did. I don't know how it works.
What's
my son-in-law doesn't know how it works. I think Venmo. I think we can Venmo now, Paul. I appreciate it. By the way, I'm not going away, Paul, because I want to show a little bit what they're doing to you. That thing that came out yesterday. Is it okay if I share a little bit of that, Paul?
Yeah, it's up for the world. Okay, man.
It's public now, and so I want to talk a little bit about that. Yes, folks. Yes, you can Venmo us, and I'm going to tell you this. We're going to spend the money. We're going to spend the money. Yep. I'm not going to get rich off of it. I'm not. But I'm going to tell you, none of your business. I'm not going to tell you that. Jeff Klein, closing his business today. Last day in business. Is that right, Jeff? Are you out there today? Jeff's always out there today. Huh? Yeah, he's there. Are you closing your business today, Jeff?
It's retirement day and my birthday.
Birthday and retirement day, Jeff Klein. How long you had that thing? How long you had that crazy lot open, Jeff?
15 years, and then last years. 2-3 years under Joe Obama was not fun. So I'm getting.
Hey, Jeff, how many sleepless nights did you have with that business?
Oh my gosh! Lot of debt, worrying about how you're going to pay. It's just stupid. So now I'm getting freedom now.
Yeah, the whole system set up that way.
Mary Jane is bringing in a cake and ice cream this afternoon. There won't be nothing in the building, nothing, not even place to sit. We're going to have a little party and lock the door. I told people when I lock the door about 5 o'clock, I'm going to lock the door, step outside because I rent. I'm going to look up and I'm going to say happy birthday to me. Look up to the heavenlies and say thank you, Mom and Clyde. Then have a little prayer. It's like, Lord, what do you have me do next?
Jeff, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to give the bird to the devil. Give the bird to the devil, whether it's down on the ground or whatever.
I'll do that for you.
Yeah, yeah. Give the bird to the devil, brother. Huh? Well, God bless you. God bless you. Hey, listen, I want somebody right now. I want somebody to pray for Angie, her husband, her son, and somebody to pray for my sister-in-law, Susie, who's just been through unbelievably a month of just, it's torture, folks. Cancer treatment is torture. I mean, isn't it, right, Paul? Is there anything else to call it? They're actually, folks, they inject you with stuff and radiation to try to kill things. Do you understand that? You understand what's going on? It doesn't just kill the thing that they're trying to kill. It kills a lot of things. And, boy, Susie's been through it, and Angie's in the midst of it, and others out there. I could go on. Mark Mattingly fights it every stinking day. And he has the most cheerful attitude every time I talk to him. He's up or getting up. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. It's real, man. It's real. Who said, I'll pray for them, coach? Who wants to
pray? I would like to pray for
him. Hey, thanks,
coach. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, right. Yes.
Yeah, okay, Father. my wife, Jane, just went through that treatment over a year ago. And we put our trust and faith in you, Lord God, that you heal that big C killer that's out there, that demonic entity that exists in this fallen world, Lord God.
Amen.
But you have power and authority over all of these diseases. I recall in the scripture where King Ahaz, he had a diseased foot. And he said it was unto death, that diseased foot. And it says that he sought all of the physicians for his healing, but he never sought the Lord.
Mm.
And he died. We seek you, Lord God, first and foremost, for our healing. For you say that healing is the children's bread. And you promise that to us, Lord God, in faith. And we're to follow that with wisdom and understanding and to do the proper things. Chemo is a killer. It kills the good cells and the bad cells. But yet there's things that you put in this earth, Lord God, that we can take that heals the body as well. So give wisdom where wisdom is needed, Lord God. And we pray for these that are suffering either with the big C curse upon their bodies, Lord God, that you would remove that thing miraculously as they reach out to you in prayer and in supplication, asking for that healing, Lord God, like the woman did when she touched the hem of your garment, Lord God. We bring our faith and our trust in you, but yet we don't just rely basically on that, but we want to rely also, Lord God, on all the things that you tell us to do. So grant wisdom to those, Lord God, that are seeking that healing today, right now, in their bodies. And us, Lord God, that have abused our bodies and broken them up by misuse over the years, we can't expect a miracle to happen every single time, but we still want to put our trust in you, knowing that it's your perfect will that will do the healing, not because every time we don't come to you like a candy man that just every time we ask of you, you're going to automatically grant it. Because I recall Jeremiah, Rusty Thomas's son, all the prayers I went for, yep, to heal that boy, mm-hmm, of cancer, yet you took him home, Lord God. So we understand that us reaching out to you doesn't automatically guarantee it. But Father, you say to knock on that door and keep knocking until it's answered one way or the other. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Ray, you're going to be at some point, you're going to be in my Hall of Fame. I really mean that, Ray. Because how long ago was it you just showed up out of nowhere to Buckeye Lake? Do you remember when that was, Ray?
Yeah, eight years ago.
8 years ago.
Going on about it, yeah.
I had an event going on, and he showed up. I didn't know him from Adam. Sorry, Adam. I didn't know him at all. He pulled up in this old van, said, I'm here to help whatever it is that you'd have me to do. And he served, and we encouraged him. And we helped him and we supported him. And now you're Pastor Ray LeBlanc. You're Pastor Ray. Is that right, Ray?
Amen.
Well, I don't go for that title, but people starting to call me that more and more for some reason. So
amen. I hate that name. Know, I hate that name too, by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah.
I hate that. Huh?
I'm just a minister of God like everybody else. Yeah, hallelujah. Right. Thank you.
But yeah, brother, you are doing it. You're doing it. And I want to tip my cap to, look, if I started down that road of people who are now engaging in their faith because they've been here, it's really, really humbling. I could run down the litany. I could run all of them. Pew sitters who became doers. Right? In your
soldiers
church
of the faith.
In your church your whole life, and nobody ever asked you to do anything. Right? Right? And now you're doing stuff. Now you're running ministries. Now, well, you don't call it a ministry, but it's a ministry. You're out and doing, and yeah. I think of Ohio Brett. Say what you want to about Ohio Brett. You think we didn't unleash him? Huh? You think Coach Dave Live and you guys and your support didn't unleash Coach Brett? Ohio Brett? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Why? Because there was a guy who wanted to serve the Lord and didn't, evidently his church didn't think he was worthy of it, or who knows? I mean, whatever reason. I mean, that's just Brett. And so Brett locked up and we turned him loose, and he's eating lunch and breakfast with NFL coaches. John Gruden. You guys don't even know who John Gruden is. He's probably on Brett's speed dial. Probably.
They love you, Coach. Hey, this is Brett. This locker room is so special. I am one of countless many, Coach. If you kept going, you'd be here for 5 hours. I love you, team. I love you, Coach.
Okay, I'm not here to, thanks, Brett. I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I'm just going to tell you this, a lot of fruit from here. A lot of fruit from Coach Dave Lyle. A lot of it. And, yeah, we've made mistakes, and, yeah, we've done stuff, and, yeah, we've stupid in some areas, but our heart's always, always, always been in the right place. And so I was looking today, huh? Huh? Can you believe it? 19 ministries that we give to. There's probably some I'm missing that I'm not giving to. I don't give to Randy. I probably ought to give to Randy. Randy's as much of a minister as anybody. I give to Craig. I probably ought to give more often to Craig. I'm going to do that, Craig. I'm going to put you on every month ministry list. That's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, praise the Lord. Look on. Hang on here, Coach. Let's go. And by the way, don't forget this. 4,000 a month just to do the show. Huh? Come on, man. Cut me a break here, will you? He's legit. Pull up number one, old James O'Keefe. What does he have to say? What's James O'Keefe have to say? Oh, I got to come back to that. Did I show this yesterday? I don't think I did. What's your price? What's your price? Go ahead.
What is your price? Is it 10 million? Is it 20 million? Is it 100 million? What is your price? Because if your price is not your life, then you are for sale. If your price is not your life, then you are for sale. Wow. So, if you're going to be a truth teller, your price has to be your life. I can't surround myself with people whose price is not their life. Because the enemy, whatever the enemy is, whether it be physical, legal, spiritual, will attack the vulnerability of the person who can be compromised. So you get real spiritual real fast if you're going to do this type of work. What is your
price? Amen on that, baby. Amen. Amen on that. Wow. And by the way, Spencer, pull up. I'm flying out. I won't be here Friday morning. I'm getting on a plane at 5:30 a.m. in Columbus. And I'm heading to where it's pull up. Can you pull that Texas event? I think I sent it to you this morning. That's where I'm going to be. Stay Awake America Tour. Chad's going to take care of me down there. God bless old Chad. I don't know if it's, you know, if you're down there and you want to come, it's going to be good. A lot of great speakers, a lot of great things. If you're coming to hear me, I got 20 minutes and I'm flying down early Friday morning and I'm flying back late Saturday night. I'm great, man. Hey, Spence, real quick. I think I also sent you, the schedule. Did I send that to you? I think I did. The speaking schedule. And so that's one of the things, some of you may not care, all right? Some of you do. And they can get it there. So I'm going to speak early Friday morning. In fact, I think maybe I might be tipping it off at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Chad will be there. Chad's going to take care of me. It's all good. By the way, this costs money to do this, folks. I got to fly. I got to rent a car. Somebody said, "Coach, get a Uber." I've never done that before. I don't know. So if you're down in that area, you'd like to come. You can come over. There it all is. Cool. Let me hang on one more. Bear with me. One more thing. Make sure. No. Oh, can I give you some good news? Can I tell you? Pull up number four. How about this one, man? YouTube has to pay $24.5 million to Donald Trump for censoring him during the last election. Folks, if you don't think this is real, if you don't think we're in a spiritual war, they're paying him $24 million just to settle the lawsuit, YouTube. Why? Because the lefties own all the media. And I'm not going to go down and read through this. I'll put it in the chat. You can go down there and read it. Meta agreed to settle Trump's lawsuit in January for $25 million. Second lawsuit. YouTube's going to pay $24.5 million. $2.5 million from the American Conservative Union. You don't think this guy's been at war? Huh? If Donald Trump's playing for the other team, why the hell are they censoring him? Crazy, huh? Things are changing, folks. It's gradually, slowly happening. YouTube to pay $24.5 million to settle Trump lawsuit. By the way, I'm banned. I'm banned on YouTube. Yeah, I'm banned on YouTube. Hang on, one more thing. Okay, no. Oh, I got so much stuff. I got some. Pull this one up. Huh? Hang on. You say which one, Coach? Pull up number two. Halftime show of the NFL. Super Bowl. You want to know if the salt has lost its savor? Can you imagine the halftime of the Super Bowl? Go ahead and play it. This is what's going on.
What is that a picture of? That's not Bad Bunny. That was Bad Bunny with the breast out.
This guy's performing at the Super
Bowl. They're grooming our babies. We're going to pay a price for this. We're about to have a halftime show where most of the audience will have no idea what's going on. But I guarantee you, Bad Bunny's going to put on a drag show at halftime, because that's how he got here, by redefining masculinity, by dressing up in women's clothing, by pretending, well, I'm not gay, I'm sexually fluid, I might get into men later in life. The National Football League, they don't respect fans. They don't respect Americans. Right now, I'm just talking about the spiritual aspect of what they're doing, which is clearly the most important part of this. This is a demonic force. And oh, you're making too much of it. No, I'm not. They're telling us in big, bold letters, we hate Jesus, and your kids will be watching. And you'll have to explain to your kids, why is this man dressed like a woman for part of this halftime show? They want to normalize that for you and your kids. But you keep watching. You keep supporting. And I love football, but I fear God more than I love football. What is that?
Huh? I fear God more than I love football. David Arthur, what the hell's going on, Dave? What's going on here, Dave? By the way, Super Bowl parties. We'll be having Super Bowl parties, right? Oh, yeah. We'll turn off the halftime show. All right, right? What's the message that they are sending to you when they put this stuff? Folks, I mean, anything much more American than the Super Bowl? And look what they put in the middle of it. Come on, Arthur, what do you think? He says his audio isn't working. They're always after the kids. They're always after the kids. You know what? We're not, are we? We're not after the kids. Nah. Nah. We get stuff like this. Pull up number five. Pull up number five. Go ahead. This is the crap we're dealing with. We want to look the other way. This is church, by the way.
My body, your body, their bodies are home for the living God. Yes? Full of grace, full of truth. That is why I take my 11-year-old boy to drag shows in the summer with my friend and fellow church leader Kate and her 11-year-old boy. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to have a body, especially if you're a man, that bodies can be celebrated and played with. I want him to know that all bodies can shapeshift and be adorned with makeup and glitter, all bodies. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to live in his body as long as his body is not hurting other bodies. Amen? I especially want him to know this if he turns out to be a heterosexual, able-bodied, and cisgendered man. I want to raise a boy who knows that he doesn't get to tell other people how to live in us.
Folks, that's humanism. Huh? My body, my choice. That's humanism. Dave and Mel, I'll get you in just a second. Huh? That's where we are. That's where we're going. I got to throw this up here. This is a lot of things I'm running through, okay? Number seven, pull number seven. Here's some good news. Number seven, Supreme Court. Uh-oh. Is that it? That's not the one I want. That's Ray's. Did I give you the same one twice? Yeah, play that one. Oh, yeah. They screw up. Go ahead.
A pro-choice judge in New Hampshire just gave unborn children federal rights. Yeah, the same people who scream, my body, my choice, just walked into a federal court and asked a judge to protect unborn babies under the Constitution. Let's go ahead and break this down. So a class action lawsuit was filed to block Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship for kids born to illegal immigrants. And the plaintiffs argued that it would cause irreparable harm to the unborn children of those immigrants. So they needed that legal protection right now.
You understand? Do you understand? If they said they'd do away with birthright citizenship, those women who are carrying babies, they said if they can't have citizenship when they're born, it's going to cause them irreparable harm. Meaning what? That baby is a human being. Huh? Oh, your judge just ruled those babies, those unborn children, have rights. Go ahead.
Lanty said, yeah, sure. So he certified the case, and it explicitly includes unborn children in it. That means that for the first time ever in a federal courtroom, unborn babies were granted legal standing under the 14th Amendment. And whether the left meant to do it or not, that is a massive pro-life movement win. Because now we have a ruling out there that states that the government cannot harm the unborn because they are considered a person under the law. This isn't just semantics. This is precedent. And now the door is wide open for future lawsuits that protect the unborn, not just in immigration, but all across the board. And the irony of this all is this didn't even involve a single conservative. These were pro-abortion Democrats that are trying to stop Trump that just accidentally argued unborn children deserve constitutional protection. Y'all played yourselves. And I'm gonna say this loud and for everybody to hear. Life begins at conception, and now so does legal protection of it. This was fun, y'all. Have a day.
Huh? Boom, huh? Boom! Boom! Now, we're going to be smart enough to play that game. Are we going to, huh? Oh, my goodness. They're falling on their own petards, aren't they? Come on in, Mel. I got more. Don't go away. I got more.
Good morning, Coach. Hey, I was one of those pew sitters, so thanks for getting me off my butt and into the game. Yep. So, but anyway, Spencer, if you could go to the Liberty Action Network, this Thursday, we're going to be having an online Bible study, continuing our Bible study of the letters to the seven churches and Revelation.
Yeah.
Rochelle and I had a great meeting last night, and we're excited to continue that. So if you could click on that, please, and just kind of show people where to click on the link to get into that meeting. So if you want to go back to part one and part two, you see that red link there that's there first. And then the one down below where it says click here to join, that's the one where you'll join. So we'll be there this Thursday, 7 o'clock Eastern. We'd love to see all of you there. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mel's interactive, Mel? Interactive?
Yes, interactive. We love that.
Mel, do I need to be there and make sure that the doctrine is right, that everybody agrees with my doctrine?
All are welcome. All opinions are welcome. So
in other words, they're allowed to be in there. Even if they don't agree with me, they're allowed to be in there?
Absolutely.
Right. All right. Cool. All right. Great. Thanks, Mel. Thanks, Rochelle. Amen. Dave Allison or Sherry, both.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Coach, backing up to some of the stuff you touched on earlier, for every dollar that I've given the Pass the Salt Ministry, it's had more value to the kingdom of God than $1,000 I gave the ministries in the past.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you, Dave.
And so that's just honest to God truth. And don't get me wrong, there's days that grieves me greatly, right? But yeah. Since I've been watching Pastor Salt, I found out that I can have church in a garage.
Amen.
I can have church with a bunch of guys having a chainsaw.
Amen.
I can have church with a guy going down the road with some propane tanks and gas cans in the back. I can have church.
Amen.
And Coach, you know, I'm not going to get on here and say how much I love you, which I do. But you know what? I've heard so many people, Coach, I love you, man. You're the greatest. And I never see him again. And Coach, every move you make and every breath you take, I'll be watching you. But the more I watch, the more I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit to get off my fanny and do something.
Amen, Dave. Amen. 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 Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Hey, folks, look, I'm just going to say this. When you give your money to your church, do you ever go to the pastor and say, what are you doing with my money? Probably not. I don't understand why people give to Pass the Salt and then say, what are you doing with my money? I don't get it. We're doing a lot of good stuff with it. Doing a lot of good stuff with it. I'm going to tell you that. By the way, I got to say this, Dave. Folks. Oh, my goodness. If people would only listen to Coach Dave. I bought gold at $1,500. What is it today, Spence? What is gold today? By the way, just
3850.
How much?
3850.
$3,850. And I bought it at how much? 1500. And told others, buy gold. Buy gold. And for what I understand, it's just getting started. It's just getting started. And by the way, stay right there. I started accumulating junk silver and some other silver. And I paid, I'm almost ashamed to tell you, I paid $12.95 an ounce for silver. What is it today? What's silver today?
Silver's almost $47. It was up over $47 yesterday.
$47. Hmm? Hey, folks, look, I just want to encourage you. You better be careful who you're listening to. You better be careful who you're listening to. Because you understand this, wherever you live, the price of your house has skyrocketed. And you think that's a good thing, but you don't understand the value of your house is the same thing it's always been. The dollar's no good. Your house is not, the house you bought for $210 and is now worth $560. Your house didn't gain any value. The dollar got, it takes more dollars to buy your house. It's a hedge against inflation. If you want to go out and buy a similar house that you got for $210,000, you're going to pay $570,000 because the dollar's no good. It has nothing to do with the value of your home. Do you understand? So gold, silver, that's God's money. Somebody help me out here. Didn't the Bible talk about gold and silver? The gold is mine, the silver is mine. He didn't say the Bitcoin's his, I don't think. Huh? Like, cryptocurrency's mine. Really? So everything I follow, you say, oh, Coach, I missed it. It's too late. No, no, no. They say that silver is probably gone to $250. You hear me? Probably gone to $250 an ounce silver. And they have no idea where gold's going to go. So it's not too late. It's not too late. Somewhere along here, I got an old dollar bill. Hey, $6.75 to mail you a hat. Come on in, Gene.
I just wanted to say in Haggai 2:8, I think it says that gold and silver is mine. God, or silver and gold is mine, the way he put it.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's God's money, and we've been using the devil's money all this time.
It is what it is, man. It is what it, folks. Dollar's no good. We know that behind the scenes right now, they're trying to come up with a new financial system. And the reason we're in the mess we're in, hold your breath, is because the Khazarian Jew mafia created the Federal Reserve, which is a financial system outside the American government. The Federal Reserve is not an American agency. You folks, tell me you understand that. The Federal Reserve was created by Khazarian Jews. I'm sorry. You can get mad. Call me anti-Semitic. Call me whatever you want to. I would say that they were really, really smart. Those Jews are really, really smart because they got all their Christians to jump into that financial system. And so those Khazarian Jews, they now own everything. They own all the banks. Oh, I'll get mad if you want. Get mad. It is what it is. I don't have an answer for you.
Boom.
I don't have an answer for you. But I can tell you, they hate Trump because Trump wants to do away with the Federal Reserve. That may get him killed. He better be careful. That's what killed Kennedy, you know. You know that's what they killed. Hey, Spencer, Google real quick because a lot of people out there still don't believe me. Google real quick. Is the Federal Reserve a government agency?
No, it's not. You don't have to Google search it.
No, the Federal Reserve is not entirely a government. It's a unique quasi-government, privately owned business. Our entire monetary system, privately owned. I hate to use this word, the Kazarian Mafia. You said, well, what's a coach? Well, look that up real quick. I'm sorry I'm on this. And if you leave, you leave. I don't care. I'm about the truth here. Look up Kazarian Jews. Look that up. Kazarian Jews. KH. Kazarian Empire. Kazarian Jews. The Khazars were a powerful semi-nomadic Turkic empire from the 7th to 10th centuries that controlled a large territory in Eastern Europe and Caucasus. This is evidence that their ruling elite converted to rabbinic Judaism in the 8th or 9th century. Folks, do you understand that? They converted to rabbinic Judaism. They are not bloodline Jews. Somebody say amen for me out there. They're not bloodline Jews.
Amen.
In the 8th or the 9th century.
Amen.
The theory that modern Eastern European Jews are primarily descendants of these Khazar converts, known as the Khazar hypothesis, is now largely discredited by genetic studies and consensus, scholar consensus, which shows Ashkenazi Jews ain't Jews. Oh my goodness. Didn't Jesus Christ warn us of those who said they were Jews and are not? But are of the synagogue of Satan? Yes or no? Yes or no? Hey, Gino, do I sound anti-Semitic because I tell you the truth? Wasn't it Jesus Christ himself who said, do I now become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Or is that Paul?
Paul, Galatians 4:17.
I'm telling you the truth. It's right there. The Federal Reserve is controlled by Khazarian Jews who are not bloodline Jews. Hey, I'm just curious. Boy, I'm losing them now. I don't care. Is Netanyahu bloodline Jew? I wonder. Check that out. Is Benjamin Netanyahu bloodline? What's his bloodline, I wonder? Those who say they're Jews and are not. Oh, so you can't even find that stuff. They say that's why Charlie Kirk got killed, by the way. Because he's beginning to expose all this stuff. Wikipedia's got a thing about it. Abraham is Jewish by both his mother and father, and his family is predominantly Ashkenazi Jewish. Gino, do you see that, or am I the only? We just asked the computer a question. What is it? Is Benjamin not you a birthright Jew? No, I know. He's predominantly Ashkenazi Jew. Well, what's an Ashkenazi Jew? Oh, well, the Ashkenazi Jews are a group of Europeans who converted to Judaism. They weren't born Jews. Ashkenazi Jews are a member of the Jewish ethnic group whose ancestors were from Central and Eastern Europe.
Did you just say a Nazi, Coach?
I didn't say that. No,
look at the end of it. It is N-A-Z-I.
Nazi. They are one of the two largest Jewish communities along the Sephardic Jews and have a rich cultural heritage, including the Yiddish language and specific religious traditions. Many Ashkenazi Jews trace their ancestry to a small group of families who settled in the Rhineland in the 10th century, a phenomenon that also resulted in a higher prevalence of certain genetic conditions. The origins, but folks, look, that wasn't my plan to go here. Wasn't my plan. What's their history? European roots. Ashkenazi Jews established a major communication in Central and Eastern Europe and the Polish Commonwealth. They were Polish. They were born Polish. They migrated from Rhineland to Eastern Europe in the Middle Ages and after the Holocaust to countries like the United States and Israel. Folks, these aren't God's chosen people. Sorry. They converted. Founding event. Genetic studies show that Ashkenazi Jews descend from a small group of founding families, leading to the high degree of genetic relatedness and increased risk of certain inherited conditions. That the Yiddish language, Ashkenazi Jews have significantly influenced both religious and secular developments. Figures like Albert Einstein, Franz Kafka, They were Ashkenazi Jews. Religious traditions, while sharing the Hebrew language for prayer, Ashkenazi Jews developed distinct liturgical customs and religious institutions. And what's the name of that book they came up with? Oh, the Kabbalah. The Kabbalah. What is that? Maybe we ought to go there. Huh? Wait a minute. We got Mizrahi Jews. We got Sephardic Jews. What? Boy, people are getting nervous. Getting nervous. What did I say to pull up, Spencer? What did I say to pull up? I forget. My mind's racing so fast. Nobody remember what I said?
Kabbalah.
Kabbalah is a Jewish mystical tradition. Somebody real smart out there, what's mystical mean? What's mystical? I'm not going to say it. I'll make somebody else say it. So the Kabbalah is a Jewish mystical tradition. This is just Google. What is
witchcraft?
Witchcraft. A Jewish mystical tradition focusing on achieving a deeper understanding of God, the universe, and one's relationship with the divine. Derived from the Hebrew word to receive, it provides a cosmic spiritual framework for understanding the hidden aspects of existence in Torah. Key Kabbalistic concepts include Sefirot, divine attributes, tree of life. So the key aspects of the Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, esoteric tradition, Torat Hasidah, I don't even know what that means, oral traditions. Are you looking at me? Jesus warned us of those who say they are Jews and are not. Somebody a lot smarter than me, tell me from biblical tradition, how does someone become a Jew? From biblical tradition, how does someone become a Jew?
From the biblical perspective, Coach, if it's not the bloodline, it's not. Period. End of story.
You mean birth? They were a Jew at birth?
Bloodline birth, yep.
Oh, wow.
That's why we got to study about the Kenites, the sons of Cain.
Yep. Coach, I'm just telling you, you've opened up something. I'm sitting here going, I'm praying for you right now. You better be careful.
Yeah, maybe I better change subjects, huh? Huh? And so then people come along and say that we're anti-Semitic. What are you talking about? See, folks, it's all just a big game. It's all just a big game. They lied to you. And so if you criticize the Kabbalists or the Ashkenazi Jews, you're anti-Semitic. It's like calling you racist. They disqualify you from having the right to say anything. Just by calling you, you anti-Semitic. I hear it in here. Let's switch gears. Enough of that. I didn't even mean to get there. No, I'm not here to Jew bash. George Howard, come on in, George.
If you really want to do a lot of digging, because of what you're saying, Hitler and the Bolshevik Russian, it'll explain a lot.
Oh brother. I don't want anybody to think I was on Hitler's side. I ain't even gonna go there. See, there are certain things you're not allowed to say, right? There's certain things you're not allowed to say. I'm going to tell you this. In my life, right now, I might know 10 Jews. I might. And I don't not like them. I have no opinion about them. They're Jews. I thought that was their religion. By the way, I know thousands of blacks. Thousands of them. And a lot of them I really like, and a lot of them I don't like. And I know hundreds, I know tens of thousands of whites. And some of them I like, and some of them I don't like. And it ain't got nothing to do with their skin color, nor their religion. And that's how they've boxed us in. But Gene, I don't know how I got here, but I'm going to keep riding.
Well, you're heading to Revelations 2:9 and 3:9. God blessed those two churches out of the seven because they knew who the true Jews were.
Yep.
And our churches are not teaching who the Jews are and who they're not, because they give. We got to give money to Jews, to the Jews.
And Gina, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna, write these things: saith the first and the last. That'd be Jesus, wouldn't it? Who is dead and is alive. I know your works, tribulation and poverty. And I know the blasphemy of them who claim to be Jews and are not. Do you know any that do? You know any that claim to be Jews and aren't? Well, they're the synagogue of Satan. Hey, Spence, what's a synagogue? It's a synagogue. See, some of you are fighting that anti-Semitism virus right now. You're nervous. You're nervous. So a synagogue is a church. It's a building where a Jewish assembly or congregation meets for religious worships and instructions. Huh? They are the church of Satan. Look, get as mad as you want. I don't even know who I'm talking about because I don't know. I don't know a bunch of Jews. I don't know. I do know this. They started the Federal Reserve. Come on in, Mark.
Yeah, Coach, and I just think we're using these terms all wrong, and words have meaning. I think the people who use the term Jew are all screwed up. The people who use the term Semite and Semitic are all screwed up.
Yep.
Just if you look at these two tribes in this term, Jewish, Jew is for the people who come from Judah.
Right. Tribe of Judah.
If you say you're Jewish, that means you come from Judah. That's a lie.
Bloodline.
Because these other people say they're Levites and they're Jewish. These other people say they're Semites. You're anti-Semitic if you don't like Jews. I thought if you're anti-Semitic, you don't like Semites, Coach. And if you're anti-Levitic, you don't like Levites, Coach. And if you're anti-Jewish, you don't like Judah people. See, these tribes have been fighting from the beginning to claim the top name.
That's right.
To influence our vocabulary so that their sect of this evil religion that was dissipated after Jesus, you know, I think this thing, this distraction is taking us off the ball.
It's
taking us off of Jesus. We've spent an hour talking about these religions unlabeled properly. We're using the terms improperly during this show. And it's chaos. Any of this chaos and disorder should not be something that we spend time on, Coach, in my opinion.
I just
feel like, honestly, Coach, we wasted an hour explaining a confusing thing. We haven't gotten to the true words. There's 12 of those tribes that we should be talking about 12 of those words if you talk about Israel, okay? Because all 12 tribes, the bloodlines, hasn't it been proven that the blood trickled across those mountains and came to America? And didn't the Jews get away? Didn't they go populate the earth with their seed? I mean, it doesn't matter anyway after Jesus. It doesn't matter. There's no more Jew, Greek, or Gentile. Could Paul have been any more clear?
No, he couldn't have been, Mark. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know.
It's just so sad. It's so sad. It's chaos of Satan.
Yes. Randy, before you come in, hey, Brett, are you anti-Wolverine? Are you allowed to be anti-Wolverine? Do you hate Wolverines? That'll be the next one they come up with. Well, he's he's anti-Wolverine. Jeez, come on, man. Randy.
No, Mark nailed it, Coach. He said probably what I was going to say, but I will want to – everyone should memorize Romans 2:28-29, Coach. They should memorize it. And if you can't understand it, come to a class for 15 minutes and learn it, because – either Paul is in contradiction and he's a liar, or he's 100% right, Coach. And
Romans
that verse,
what,
all, the, all he says, go
Romans
ahead.
Romans what, Randy?
Romans 2:28-29.
Get it up there. Romans 2:28-29. Go ahead, Randy.
So That's all you need to know, Coach. And then you can take the three, just three of, and many more, but three of the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, they all confirm that the new covenant, when it comes, the Holy Spirit will write it on your heart. So we're in the new covenant. Jesus said we was. Okay. And here Paul confirms what the prophets said would happen. He's actually not writing this on his own. He's interpreting it from the Old Testament, from the prophets. So Coach, what Mark just said is, look, there's no more Jew or Gentile. There's no more anything. Everyone is one under in Christ. Okay.
Including Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, First Congregationalist.
So where's the
God,
argument?
Church of God in Christ. Right. Go ahead.
Amen, Coach. So look, this is my point. If Paul said this as clear as a bell, what is the argument after this? What is this? Is any Jew, why would anyone want to hold up a bloodline when this says this? You don't understand it. If you're going to hold up any bloodline, even Jewish, which is what Jesus was, but Jesus didn't use his Jewish blood to be God. He didn't do anything wrong. Anybody that holds up a bloodline, period, is wrong. There's no benefit in it. There's no privilege in it at all. None.
He's not a Christian who's won outwardly. Huh? You're not a Christian who's won outwardly. You're a Christian inwardly. You're not a Jew because you're born a Jew. See, look, you can be born into a Christian family and not be one. You do understand that, don't you? Huh? You do understand that. Man, we're running out of time. I'm just getting rolling. Paul, go ahead, Dr. Paul. By the way, he's got a great video. I'll play it tomorrow, Paul. Folks, what they did to Paul Goslin.
Are you going to Texas, Coach?
What's that?
Are you going to Texas?
Yes.
Texas.
Yes.
So when you get down there, if you get a chance, Pete Chambers was my roommate in med school in Maine. You might just kind of remind him about our mudding. We were mudding in his truck 2 o'clock in the morning. Anyway,
text me that so I don't forget it.
Okay, yeah, just keep in mind it's me and he ain't a regular guy, you know, Chambers. He's much more like me than any other doctor I know.
So Paul, it's the same thing, right? You understand how much of Christianity tries to make me out to be a freak. You understand that? Folks, it's what they do.
You and me too. We're both freaks. I love being a freak.
Yep. You don't go with the flow. You're a freak.
You're peculiar.
You don't follow everybody else. You're sick. Huh? Come on. Come on. You live out your faith. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Come on in, Jack, real quick.
Yeah, just two quick points. Christ was asked about the money, and he asked whose picture was on it. Guess what? Whose picture is on Federal Reserve notes? Some king, some president. Whose picture is on United States dollars? Liberty is on United States dollars. It's a silver dollar. Liberty. The other thing is, wife was watching the Antique Roadshow last night, and they had a guy on. This is 2007, and they had the photographer, Kennedy's photographer, on. And I caught something he said. It just jumped out at me. He said, "I was five cars back when the three shots rang out." Think about that. I was five cars back when the three shots rang out.
Oh, man. I love this show. You know why? There ain't no sacred cows here, man. We poke them all. Been a lot of things that we've been taught that simply are not true. What was that song? Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. Maybe we ought to, huh? Tradition. Jesus warned us of following after the traditions of men who make the word of God of none effect. Wow. I love the Jews. I love blacks. I love Goslins. I love McCarthy's. I love Nairs. Love them all. I don't put everybody. I got some Christians I don't like. See you tomorrow.